done. And I'm here this hour, and I want to do the will of the Lord. I covet your prayers that God would help us tonight. Luke chapter 22, and begin reading in verse 54. The Bible said, "Then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together. Peter sat down among them. The certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let us pray. Father, tonight, I thank you for what you've done in this meeting. I thank you that we can draw out of you. I thank you that there's bread from heaven for us tonight. I thank you for the word of God. And I pray you'd help us now to do your will and do your bidding in this hour. Give us unction and utterance, I pray. Illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. Let us please you and proclaim your name tonight. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Help us in this good hour. We'll bless you and we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll mention tonight and talk to you for just a moment as the Lord would direct us on failure is not fine. The person that has never failed is the person that's never tried. If you've tried, there'll be some time in your life that you'll fail. And when the men in this world fail, the world mocks them off and says, we're through with you. The world loves the social drinker, and when he's laughing with the crowd and running with the crowd, they love him. But when that alcohol gets a hold of him and lays him down yonder on Skid Row, society is through with him. And the world says failure is final. I'm thankful tonight with God, failure is not final. Thankful tonight that he's able to help us. I read tonight in your hearing of a man that failed the Lord. He denied his Lord. This Simon Peter was an outspoken individual. This Simon Peter was the first one to always answer the Lord and always seemingly a full head of steam and gung-ho attitude. He, Pharisee, was the very one that denied his Lord. Jesus is sitting at the table with his disciples and they're asking and thinking about who's the greatest among them. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant. And seemingly as they're talking about this, all of a sudden out of the blue, Jesus turns to Simon Peter and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail thee not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Simon Peter, the other disciple, sitting there at the table of the Lord, not really realizing what was going on, though he was trying to explain it to him, what was fixing to happen. And in Simon Peter's case, there was not a word of the trial that lay just ahead of him, and the denial and the failure in his life. And let the Lord Jesus broke in on the conversation and seemingly say to Simon Peter, Simon, you don't know, but I want to tell you there's some trouble and there's some a conflict and there's some sifting and there's some trial laying ahead of you. Oh, hear me tonight. I'm thankful tonight that God sees to us. I'm glad that he's responsible for us tonight. I want to tell you tonight, he's not just interested, and he just doesn't see my mountaintop experiences. He doesn't see the times that I'm obedient. I want to tell you tonight, he knows my failures. He knows, thank God, my trials. He sees before they get here, thank God, when Satan will have to sift me as wheat. And I'm thankful tonight, he knows all about it.
Amen. I've heard folks say, I can't believe the Lord blessed me when he looked at my past. I can't believe he blesses me knowing my future. You see, he knows. Hallelujah. Thank God. But I want to say tonight, thank God, he said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, but he might sift you as wheat. But I have faith for thee, that thy faith fail me not. Amen. In other words, Simon Peter, when you get to that place, when you get to that time that Satan is going to come against you and try to sift you as wheat and defeat your faith, Simon, I knew about that time. I know what's going on. And I've already prayed that my faith failed enough. I'm glad to report to you tonight. I don't know what trial is ahead for me. I don't know what circumstance I'll face when I get back home. But thank God for him that already knows tonight. And before I get there, he's already prayed for me and will have the grace that'll get me through my trial. He didn't wait until Peter got in and prayed for him. He said, I'm already praying for you. Amen. Somebody said, what does it mean for him to pray for you? Well, if he prays for you, it's as good as done. Hallelujah. And in John 11, standing at the tomb of Lazarus, he lifts up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou may, they may believe thou hast sent me. When he prays for you, thank God the answer is already complete. It's not a finished. Amen. Well, hear me. I appreciate you praying for me. I need the prayers of those I love. The old song says, but thank God for that one. I'm accepted to that hand tonight. My great high priest that intercedes and intercesses for me. And says if he ever prays, the Father always hears him. Thank God. Peter, your trial's coming up. The same God cried. Thank God. And I'm 50th week. But I pray for thee that your faith had failed not. Amen. Thank God for him tonight. Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you. The prayer's going into death. My God, he said, everybody else may be offended because of you, but not me. They, the rest of them, may forsake it. But Lord, I'm staying with you, he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice. Amen. He knew. So finally, go out in the garden, Jesus prays. Judas and his crowd comes to and betrays the Lord. And they take him yonder. And the disciples are dispersed. Amen. And Peter begins the step that leads to his denial of his Lord. That leads to his failure. I read it for you tonight. The first one is Peter followed afar off. Our brothers explained that to us tonight. I'm not questioning tonight whether you're following or not. Thank God. But I am wondering at what distance you're following. Amen. It does make a difference at what distance you follow. Hey, friend. If you follow close and walk hand in hand and arm in arm, thank God. And then you can go with him. But if there's distance between you and him, I would say come between you and him tonight. Peter followed, but he followed the fall. Some of you are following tonight, but you're a long way following. You're way behind tonight. It's not a distance tonight. And you set yourself up for failure tonight. Amen. Secondly, not only did he follow Paul, but notice the fire that he warned by. The Bible said he came into the high priest's house and the Peter followed the hall and they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and Peter, thank God, sat down among them. Notice the fire that he warned by. that if he'd been close enough to the Lord, he had needed no fire. Yes, sir. He was in the same bed as he. Amen. When we're close enough to the Lord, our hearts are aflame for him. Thank God, our affections are what they ought to be for him. But when we fall at a distance, our lives get cold. Thank God, our hearts get cold. And faith can interfere and cause us to fail and deny him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he sat down to call to warmth of the fire. Appeal to him, the coldness of the night. If you walk close enough to him, arm in arm with him, it doesn't matter how cold the night. Thank God, he'll warm your soul and warm your heart. But if you fall apart, thank God, the coldness of this age will cause you to fail and start warming by the wrong fire tonight. Now notice it was a fire of convenience. They kindled the fire, not Peter. He warmed by a fire that somebody else kindled. But it led him to faith. Some of you here tonight are warming by somebody else's fire. You're warming by the pastor's fire. You're warming by the Sunday school teacher's fire. You're warming by somebody else in your family. You're warming by somebody else's fire. Amen. You didn't kindle it. You never bought anything to build it up. You're just warming by. Our church folks tonight, thank God, come to the house of God service after service. They never bring any flame. They never bring any killing to put on the fire. All they do is come in and want to warm by somebody else's fire. I think it's about time you bought some flame. I think it's about time you got off somewhere and get full of God and come to the house of God burning whole. I come to the house of God with some kindling to put on the fire. Folks will call they bring us wet wood. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a fire of convenience. It's a fire of comfort. Amen. Got comfortable by that fire. Amen. It warmed his old bones. It warmed him from the coldness of the night. It's a fire of comfort. Amen. Comfortable Christianity we have in these days. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I want to tell you tonight, thank God, warming by a fire of convenience and a fire of comfort will cause you to deny your Lord and fail. Amen. Then it was a fire of consent. He sat down among them. He didn't say anything, but by his sitting down among them, he gave consent out of their fire into what they were doing. Oh, yeah. Some of you here tonight, you didn't. Hey, God, I've spoken against the church, and you hadn't volunteered and talked about the world. Hey, God, and took them in, but you're sitting among them tonight. You're warming by their fire. The world's fire. Hey, God. And no, you don't say it out with it. Your life consists with what they're doing tonight. Amen. And he sat there, and he sat there. And the Bible said he sat there a little while. And the Bible said, they started saying, are you not one of his disciples? And then he sat there another hour. He ought have got up and left a long time ago when the first one said, are you not one of us? But he just kept sitting. Now I believe by sitting by that fire, thank God, it influenced him to the night. What changed him from just over yonder, thank God, so gung-ho, ready to go to prison and death, and now caused him to deny? Sitting by that fire. Hearing their talk. Well, they finally got that Galilean. Said the soldiers, warming by the fire. They finally captured him, brought him in. We'll have some justice. I hear they're going to round up the rest of them. And then by the time our day or two's over with, we'll have it all. I got snuffed out. And that'll be the end of them. We'll all face crucifixion and death. And that'll be it. And every time they said something like that, it touched Old Peter's heart not to resolve out of him. And Billy Jody said, I never did believe that set was right nohow. It's just a bunch of devils. That's fair-minded folk and foolish folk. They've lost their marbles. They just little too unnatural and dogmatic anyhow. They just a little different. You can sit down yonder where you work. You can sit down yonder by your family. And if you're not careful, you'll sit there and they'll knock all the resolve out of you that you have to follow God and never deny Him. They'll sit there and one of them will say, you know what? That crazy church over yonder, they think the King James Bible's on the Bible this week, Kelly. They think the blood's going away. Thank God of salvation. They talk about repentance and faith. Amen. They believe in dressing right and living right over yonder at that church. I tell you, that preacher's got them brainwashed. It's the cause, that's what it is. Thank God they shout and cry on and holler. Thank God, and that's not necessary. Why, you ought to come over here to our church and join our team. Thank God. And be fellowship with our preacher.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he kept us in right with us. And I'll tell you, we've got good programs over at our church. And if you're not careful, you'll get among that crowd. I said, I'll get knock off this bomb out of you. Thank God.
Amen.
Hello. But oh, thank God for the old family. Hello. Thank God, take my picture. Snap it. I want to be identified with this crowd. Write the date on it. Thank God, step it deep. Let everybody see that I was a part of it. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Thank God. Somebody said, what camp are you in hell? I want to be where God is. And the scriptures are preached. And the Holy Spirit has the plot of it. That's the camp I want to be in. You better watch that among that ecumenical crowd. Pastor in our town, ecumenical, charismatic, whatever you call it. And he said this. He said there was a time, you know, and there was, when they really preached standards. And I've known them to turn folk out for something. I've known the people's names. I've seen them do it. But he said this statement. He said, for years we drove people away. But we've learned now that we need to bring them in. So in other words, we've dropped everything that we used to stand against and discipline and preach and said, just come on in, and they got it. Hey. Wear your old time in, put on your necklaces. Thank God. Let the women dress in the breeches and blue jeans and shorts, come on in. Oh, yes. Thank God. Oh, yeah, come on in to the church. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you what else they'll do. They come down the bus and remarry among the members. I mean, among the same congregation. And the whole town still gets the same thing. And nobody ever says nothing about it. Hallelujah. You sit among that rebel crowd long enough. You get to thinking out now, all of this right, and you'll fail and deny your Lord. You better get out from among them and stay with the old man of God and pray and real for God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Something not to resolve out of him. something called him to be so forceful. And now as he sat among that crowd and listened to their talk, he didn't have any fire left in him. Oh, Lord. I think I've got some more ammunition to go back home with and fight the devil with since I've been up here this week. This weekend, and thank God, and the man of God, it filled me some ammunition. How did I give you? Hallelujah. My pouch gets pretty empty sometimes. I thank God for another 3 pounds of the brook. How to get another stone to pass the gun with. Thank God I've been in the brook this week. And I found another stone. And I pray against the God tonight.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Oh, bless him, high over me. But he sat there hour after hour, and 3 times they said, "Surely you're one of them." They even said, "Your speech betrayeth the way of you. You talk like a Galilean. You got that dog." Amen. Oh, Lord. And I'll tell you, he'd sit there alone. And warmed by those long fires alone. Hey, it may have warmed his bones, but my friend, it caused his heart to get cold. That's to the Lord he loved. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you're looking for that church to excite you, and let your youngins play ball on their team. And, oh yeah, take you down out to the water park. Hey, thank God. And have them healing services and do all that stuff. I want to tell you, you might, it's not your religious spirit. You may stay up here on those guns, but your heart will go cold tonight. Hey, some reason for staying like that. I don't know why. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, God. I won't tell you how before the charismatic crowd ever hit the scene. All four Father Baptist mother and father. I was a worshiper in the Holy Ghost and having old time power. They talk about the anointing and what they got like that's somebody special. They've got it so English. Man, all time Baptist knew what that is all about long before there's ever had time. He sat there and he sat there and he sat there and ever word was spoken with another hour in his soul until finally all the pipe was gone. And at last they said, "Surely you're one of them, you talk like them." He said, "I don't know him. I don't know him." He denied his Lord. He failed. He said, "I never will." But he did. Now you better be careful about your spirit and your attitude. Especially when you hear about some man falling. Some preacher. Some lay member. Oh, hear me. You're the same flesh. Paul said, "If any man thinketh he's standing, take heed lest he fall." That's scripture. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Peter said they may be offended, but not me. I'm going in prison there. Lo and behold, they said I won't. And said it with force and with fire. Now, death, I don't know him! And he failed. Blessed day in my life when I come to the point that I was no better than the brethren.
Well, I got a couple of amens on here. Lord help us. I'd never do that. I never would be guilty. You better take heed. You'll be over one sitting by the wrong fire. And when they ask you, you'll be saying, I don't know it. He failed. He forsook his Lord. He denied him. And when he did, that old rooster crowed. And he remembered the words of the Lord. Before the cock crowed, you're going to deny me. Three times. You know, when you fail the Lord, have you ever noticed it seems like everything, even in nature, cries out against you? You ain't even right with God, you ain't right with nature. I mean, it just seems like it cries out against you. That fowl, that rooster, crowed, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord. And so happened Jesus was walking from one place to another about that time. So happened. And he looked at Peter. He didn't say nothing. And Peter looked at him. And he didn't say nothing. But he remembered. Now, Peter'd seen the eyes of the Lord look at a lot of different situations. He'd watched him as Brother Michael preached just tonight, look at the multitude, was moved through compassion because he had nothing to eat. He watched him eyes full of compassion as he wanted to raise it. The widow of Nain, he had compassion on her. She come out of that only son. And went over there and raised her up. He seen the fire in his eyes when he drove the money changers out of the temple. Oh. He's seen a lot of looks out of the Lord Jesus. He's seen the peaceful look in his eyes though the storm was raging. Christ wasn't upset of him. He said, peace be still. But he never had seen the look out of his eyes like he saw that day. And when Peter saw his eyes, Peter, you failed me. Peter, you denied me. Peter walked out, found him a place to pray, and he started reaping bitterly. What do you do, preacher, when you fail? Admit it. Confess it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to justify it by the way somebody else is doing or not doing. Just confess it! Find you that place alone, and do like Peter, pour your heart out! I don't know, you fellas help me, but I believe Peter here prayed. Satan has come to him. Desire to have him to sit in the queen. To see us in the chamber. If when Satan comes, he said to him, Peter, the one that was not going to deny him, he denied. And did you see the look in his eyes? He'll never forgive you. You have sinned such a great sin, and there's the, why don't you just end it? And Judas hung himself. And old Simon Peter, you were, as long as you was with him, and you was his right-hand man, so to speak, and you said a lot of things about him. You said he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, but look, when the going God touched you tonight, why your life's not worth anything, just give it out. Peter thought, well, maybe you're right. I'm a no-count star, no damn nothing. Maybe I better, be better off just get out of the way. That's what the fellas have it. He'll never love me again. I'll never be any benefit to him. They're going to do away with him. And they're going to crucify him, and I'll never have a chance to tell him I'm sorry. And he thought, well, I'll just end it here. Back under his mind, as the devil is talking to him and influencing him, I hear him hear another voice that said, I pray for thee that thy faith fail thee not. Ringing in his soul, in the midst of his weeping bitterness and his fire, I hear him hearing the Lord's voice saying, I pray for you, Simon, that your faith fail not. That's all he's praying. And I came the morning, greeted, and never did he get a chance to talk to his Lord again. The next day they hung him at Calvary, he was crucified. And they come back with a report that they buried him in Joseph's new tomb. Lord, don't you know the next few days is miserable for Simon Peter? To think the last time that I saw him, it was a look of disappointment he had in me, and I betrayed. I'd have denied him. I'd have killed, and I'll never see him again. The last act I had towards him was an act of betrayal, and it's over with. I'll spend the rest of my days living and wallowing in this failure. I'll never forget the hurt look in his eyes. One day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed. And early the first day of the week, women went down to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord. And they, when they got there, they wanted to roll the stone away, but it's gone when they got there. And so was he. The angel said, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." The angel said to them women, "Go tell the disciples that he's risen. And that he said he'll go before in Galilee." Well, that'd been good news if the women had come in and said, "We saw two angels." And they said, "Tell you disciples that he's alive." But Mark said, "You didn't just say tell the disciples." Now that'd been good enough. Peter was a disciple. But he said, "Tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter that he's alive. Make sure you tell Peter he's risen." Woo! Hallelujah! And I'll see him again. Tell Peter I know he failed. Tell Peter I know he denied. But tell Peter I got up over his failure. Tell Peter I triumphed over his sin. Tell Peter I got the victory over his failure. Hallelujah! Later on that evening, he talked to the disciples and Peter. Later on, he talked to him and John, 21 at the seashore. Oh, hallelujah. Called him his friend. Oh, yeah, he did. Hallelujah. Recommissioned him. Hallelujah. The devil said it's final, but not with God. Failure's not tonight. Not with him. He got up over all of our failures. He got up over all of our sins. He got up and triumphed over all of them tonight. And through him we now victory tonight. Acts chapter 2, 120 are gathered, the Holy Ghost fills the place where they're sitting. And everybody hears in their own language the wonderful works of God. And some men come by and say, "Why, these are drunk with wine." That's what's wrong with them. But the Bible said, Peter and the 12 stood up. Amen. Thank God. The other 11 seemed to take a step back and leave Peter out in front. And Peter said, "Thank God, these men are not drunk with wine as you suppose being the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And from that he preached to that crowd. Hey, the devil said, "Pay your final." Thank God. But look at him there. He's not warming by the own fire. He's on fire. Hallelujah. Ah, he's burning in his soul. Because the Lord's fire is on his fire. And it's not final. Hallelujah. And so came and John and incarcerated him and said, "Are you raised this man? And you're preaching the name of Jesus, and we charge you not to do it no more." And Peter denied him before, but now with Holy Ghost fire, he says, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Hallelujah. On and on, his life goes till history says, they say, "We're going to kill you, Peter. We're going to crucify you." And he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified, but my Lord, turn me upside down." and crucify me. Hallelujah. Thank God. And he is evidence tonight. Thank God. That though you want but a long fire, you can possess all your fire tonight. And God can use you. And prayer's not final with God tonight. You water in your failure. You live in your failure. Let the devil defeat you in your failure tonight. Thank God, or you can come to him and got up over your failure and realize tonight he's alive. And ask him tonight how to place that fire back in your soul and forgive you for that failure and to let you go again for him tonight. Any of you ever preached since failure? Oh, maybe since something we was in North Carolina back in October, riding along the car one day, and I don't know if he knows how much it meant to me. He said, I realize the Lord's been along my path. Let me see that he is marking out on my footprint for nobody to fall in fire. Now, you don't understand what I'm doing. I'm not accusing. You understand. But you know and I know. Thank God failure is not final. I'm glad of the time he's marked out the things in my life. And let me go again. Woo! He knows your failure. He knows what you've done and he knows what's ahead for you. But he's prayed for you. And he sent the grace to get you through whatever the trial, whatever the test, whatever the bombardment of Satan tonight. Thank God failure is not fine.